Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, you're listening to a special edition of the Shock Therapy Radio Show. You're sitting in with your man, the architect in the building, holding it down today. I'm the only one here. We got a special guest in that we just need to talk to today. So since there's nobody else around, without further ado, I'm going to do the job. And we're going to get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, on the radio station on Culture Shock Entertainment Radio, we love to deal with spoken word, poetry, art, literature, the creative arts. That's what we do around here, unlike anyone else. And we have a special, lovely young lady in the building that, if you guys haven't heard of her already, you're about to hear from her now. Lisa Misunderstood Poet, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
That's awesome. We're happy to have you here. Jump right into it. I've been wanting to ask for a while, for a very long time, what is the misunderstood about in your name? Okay. Particularly how it's spelled, first of all, because it was kind of hard for me to find you because I'm like, I'm putting it in here and it's not coming up. And I'm like, oh, that's why.
Spell it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Where it came about, the misspelling was just to put a spin on it. There was a couple of misunderstoods out there with rap and I think poetry.
Okay.
So I wanted to be more unique because I am. And misunderstood, when it started, I was actually miss dot understood.
Okay.
Like it was a title and then understood. And I wanted people, if you were feeling me, I wanted to be like, you know, misunderstood. If you wasn't feeling me, it was, you know, because all my life I had been looked at like this weird artist, you know, like most artists. So then it was like, I was misunderstood a lot. So it was like twofold. If you was feeling me, I was misunderstood.
Gotcha. That's pretty dope, but I guess that's what spoken word people do. They get creative with words
play
and
with
stuff.
The words.
That kind of makes sense. So let us know how you got into spoken word poetry, things like that. First of all, for the audience, let's go ahead and clear this up, settle it up, get an understanding, however we're going to do it. What's the difference between poetry and spoken word?
I'm so glad you asked.
All right now.
Okay, I consider poetry is written works. It's expression. It's your written works. It's words. These words don't have to be spoken. They don't have to be performed. It's just your expressions on paper. Spoken word is also referred to as performance poetry, where you're actually bringing these words to life. And the crucial difference is, if I write something and you read it, it may not be read with the same passion and the same interpretation.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So do you think a person can do both, or is it one different from another?
I think I do both. So okay. I know that a person can do both.
Okay, good deal. So how did you get into poetry / spoken word? What was your inspiration?
I love words. I've been writing since I was about 9 or 10. My mother has my first poem still in her little book. So I've been writing all my life. I never knew there was a platform until 2004 in Cleveland. And I was introduced to the Kamikaze Coffee House. And I would go up there. I was really nervous. My nerves was out of whack. And I would just go and listen and try to get a feel of the vibe. And it was a very cool, relaxed, family-like type of feel. So I stepped on stage in 2004, and I've been on stages ever since.
So how was that for you? Because I know, like, with comedy, you know, you get a funny person, a person that makes people laugh, and then they step on the stage and do stand-up, and it's, like, extremely difficult, and everybody can't handle the platform that they're given. Like, was it like that for you?
Or it was exactly was it, like that.
Okay.
No, it was exactly like that for me. And I was like, oh, I'm so cold. You know, before I went up there, I was like, oh, I know they're going to love me. And the whole time I wonder, what are they thinking, what are they looking at me? I'm trying to look in the audience, but not look at them. I'm trying to get the feedback. And speaking of it, I used to do comedy before poetry. So I was on stage with my comedy, and I'm like, if it's anything like that, I'm probably not going to make it.
Okay.
But it's funny because I did that first poem years later, and they were like, that's the poem you did? Because it's growth.
So, right. Yeah. So what was your first poem?
It's a poem called, it's called Living a Lie. And it's actually about domestic abuse, and I've never been a part of domestic abuse. So it's like, but when I do it now, people really think this person is in a room, and I've really been through something. Because I put the passion from other women, you know, in it, trying to reach out to people that are going through it.
Okay. So you dealt basically with other people's experiences to make it your own. Okay.
Yeah.
So how does that translate? I often look at that through different art forms, acting, you know, music. Like, a lot of times you hear people do music, and it's, like, so powerful and connecting, but they're just telling the story that needs to be told. It's not necessarily theirs.
Right.
So how do you accomplish that in your poetry, where you might be telling the story, but it's not necessarily yours, but convey it in a way where people can reach you and connect you?
I think you have to feel it. I carry a lot of stuff in my heart. When I see stuff on the news or things that's going on with our girls missing now, you know, the women are being kidnapped. I carry a lot, you know, so that's my way of expressing how I feel about it. I can actually feel somebody's pain. You know what I mean? And I get that a lot on Facebook. If I put up a post and I'm just writing a poem, I'm getting these inboxes like, what's going on? Right. Oh my goodness. I'm like, no, I'm a poet, you know?
Gotcha. So, gotcha. Good deal. So, I mean, I sit here, you're walking in the building, you're walking in the studio, and I see you're sitting down across from me, and you just got this swag and this aura about you that says you've been doing this for a while. So how long have you been in poetry? How long have you been doing it?
Like I said, on stage since 2004. The thing is, I was doing, I started my own promotions company in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I've been a lot of stages, you know, been to a lot of stages. I've traveled a lot, and I do it, you know, big in Florida where I live now.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like, it's like your stage is your home. So on my stages, it's like, whatever, you know,
it's
this is what
nature.
I do. Yeah.
So is that why you moved to Florida, or what was the move consisting of? Was it a career move?
No, it's kind of just I'm spontaneous, and I have a sister who lives there, so the weather was better.
Yeah, that is true.
This is my third move, actually.
Okay.
First move, I was homesick. Second move, I had to go back because of family issues. This move, the schools are just crazy. The school system, when it got really crazy in Cleveland, I have four sons. I was like, it's time to go and put them into something better. It was more for the children this
okay.
time.
So how are you liking your experience in the Florida scene with your career path and whatnot?
I'm actually missing Cleveland still.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah. You're missing Cleveland for Florida. Okay.
Yeah. With our poetry scene is really dope. And a lot of people, I don't think, you know, here in Cleveland, we embrace it or really understand it or appreciate it until you go other places.
Yeah, So, okay, I've heard different parts of the spectrum on that. So you feel that Cleveland actually has a thriving poetry, spoken word scene versus some other places that you've been to?
We have, let me reword it. We have amazing poets.
We have
the artists.
Okay.
Maybe if I could take those artists with me, then, you know, Florida would be dope.
All right. Well, maybe we need to work on something like that. Get a tour going. You know what I'm saying? We don't see too many of those. You know, you got your rap tours, your music tours, and, you know, all this other stuff that tours. We need to get a spoken word something going.
I'm trying. I've been doing some of that. I did it in 2008. I brought Cleveland poets to Florida.
Okay. How did that turn out for you?
It was wonderful. It turned out wonderful for them. They actually got one of the poets, Ed Mabry from Columbus, picked up like 3 or 4 gigs off of the one show I set up.
So, okay, good deal.
It worked.
So with that being said, what is the name of your company? What you're doing? What's future plans? What you have in the works?
Okay.
Speak to me.
It's the letters are UK to you, LLC. We're LLC. It's Underground Queens to You. It's an arts promotions company. We did a lot of shows. We did 13 shows in 12 months when we opened.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some really big shows with a bunch of poets that have been seen on deaf poetry, as well as the Apollo and some other things. And what I did was I set up the platform to take the international poets and had a lot of our local poets open for them. So we're trying to bring that back, actually, to rebirth that since my move, where I'm going to start, you know, bringing poets to Orlando and taking Orlando poets to Cleveland. So I'm trying to get it reborn with the hip-hop scene as well as poets.
Okay. So you said you're an arts company in general. Like, what other things are you doing outside of the obvious, what we're talking about today with poetry?
Well, we do a lot of things. It's all arts, and we'll mix. Like, we had an event where we had singers, dancers, we had praise dancers, anything supportive of the arts. And we also, all of our events were tied to a local charity. So at one point, 2009, UKTU was the only table sponsor for JD Breast Cancer. And we donated $900 to that cause. So a lot of it, we're moving with anything positive in the city, in the community.
Understood. So, you say you do like praise dance and all this other stuff. Like, have you ever incorporated a spoken word piece with a praise dance or something like that? Because I think that'd be pretty dope. That'd be something different.
We've done it. Yeah, we've done it. I haven't done it. I personally want to do it. It's the sketch artist, you know, as far as me actually spitting with the praise dancer. I'm looking forward to doing things like that. I've been trying to link with certain artists in Florida.
That's a good deal. So now that we got the studio panned out, the host of the Shock Therapy Radio Show are finally in the building. We have Bobby the Junior Teddy Bear Bennett and Donisha Baby D. Dolan in the building. So I'm going to let you guys get in and chime in on some things. You got some questions you wanted to ask, I'm pretty sure, didn't you, Baby D? What you got for Lisa Misunderstood? I like that. That's I'm going to have to be like Mr. something. You inspired me.
We just don't understand you. It's a difference.
Okay.
It's a difference.
Go ahead.
What did we miss so far? Did I?
Just about everything. But
did I?
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat questions,
I
mean?
I'm sure you got some wild and outrageous questions that you can ask, so go for it.
No, seriously, what did I miss? What have you talked about?
Ask and I'll tell you if you're wrong. How about that?
Well, I'm so glad you came into the studio. We missed our last appointment.
Yeah.
She played me, everybody.
Wow.
Put her
my son played him.
No, but I'm so happy. Your son is okay, right?
Yeah.
Now, have we talked about your family situation? How, like, you know, are you married? You have children?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm married with four sons. We didn't address that.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Four sons. I mean, I'm a little bit jealous, I have to tell you, because I got two girls. Not that I don't love my girl. I love my girls. I love them, but it's
that's
like,
normally how people who don't love their family starts off.
I'm just kind of concerned that, you know, I might not ever have that son that I've been waiting on. You got four of them. You know, that's kind of unfair, but moving on.
So, I mean, the reason I asked that question, I was going to ask the inspiration from the poems, because I'm a big fan of yours. I met you off of Facebook, and I'm a big fan of the poetry that you write. Now, a lot of motivation come from your family, your children, or past experiences?
Mostly past experiences, and I was explaining earlier in the interview that a lot of things that's going on around me, I carry with me, like pain. If somebody's going through a bad relationship, if somebody's a newlywed and doing great, I feed off of emotion. So it's usually from that. I rarely, to be honest, I've never been asked that, I rarely write from my personal experiences, my current, which is interesting.
Okay, you get a lot of poets who are like, you know, where I'm at in my life right now is dark, so I want to talk about darkness, you know, stuff like that. And so that's what I was asking, because the inspiration that you get, I'm like, wow, where did she come up with this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I love how you're like, my pen flows, you know. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I think most of it, I like to play with words, you know, so it's like sometimes I'm sitting at work and all the poets, we know we have this joke and we all can relate to like post-it notes and napkins and, you know, the console of your car. You're writing everywhere. Right. You know, you're scribbling everything. It's like you get this thought and I'm recording myself while I'm driving. And, you know, you're trying to do all this stuff to go back to this thought or this slick line that you came up with.
Exactly. So. The napkins thing, you know, they say, you know, us people have a thing with napkins. So you at McDonald's stealing napkins, writing poetry?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. As long as we're on the same page, you know. Right. Mm-hmm. No, but, you know, now, you're located in Florida at this time, right?
Yeah.
Now. And I know you guys been having a lot of weather issues.
Yeah.
Now, have you gained any?
Well, I'm in Central Florida. I'm right in Orlando, so a lot of the stuff.
Oh, you know, you seen Nikki lately?
No.
Oh, okay. I had to throw a random one out there. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be too serious on the show.
Mickey is a problem in traffic. So, I mean,
is he?
I'm really close to Disney.
Okay.
So it's like trying. I'm like, oh, tourist. You know, I'm like, what's the problem? Like, oh, tourist.
So. In your personal, now with the Facebook page, now I see that it's mostly dedicated towards poetry, but I see a lot of things going on with your son. And then, let me sidebar real quick. When your son was sick, everything's okay with him now?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Everything's good. I didn't want to have a, you know, insensitive moment.
Right.
On that issue when you played me last time. So, so I wanted to make sure that was clear. He's okay. The family's doing okay.
Right.
Good. Now, what do you have coming up recently? Like, anything coming up new?
Actually, I'm going to be performing in Akron on Tuesday. I was supposed to have a huge feature, and actually it was with Jamal St. John from Newark, New Jersey, who requested me. And this guy travels with my favorite poet. Like, he's huge, and he requested, he said he has to be on stage with me for 2014. So I made it happen, and he's unable to join me. Oh. So that show has been squashed or moved or it's going to be rescheduled. Yeah.
You know, I'm free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so let me hear you do a little something.
Put him on the spot. Let's see what you get.
I got you something. Like, I actually got something prepared. Hold on a minute.
You might be more prepared than me.
You believe me?
No, you're going to play me back. You play me.
No, I got something. I'm serious. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am too.
All right, we don't have all day, man. This is a radio interview.
No, okay. Well. You said you were, is that why you're in town now? You had something in Akron?
Yeah, that was really it.
Okay, now tell me about what that show was actually supposed to be for.
It was supposed to be, well, like, it was, you trying to stall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it was going to be a really cool show, though. It was going to be a he said, she said, and it was going to be.
I'm perfect.
See?
I'm perfect for that. He said, you know, keep going.
No, we're not talking about the he said, she said that people say about you. It's a different type of show.
It's not a gossip.
Right. Okay, now I got my poem. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is still during my salvation years.
All right, we want to say whatever comes out of his mouth is not representation of Culture Shock Entertainment Radio. You cannot hold us accountable for liable. We did not steal that poem. It was all JTB.
This is from me. This is from, see, look at that. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Legit.
Okay, you tell me how I do. It's an erotic poem from JTP. That's right, I said it.
Really?
I know, right? From the preacher. But here we go. It's called A Sweet Night of Passion. It says, as the temperature rises and time passes, the heat flows from your body as you bat your lashes. The glow of your presence that speaks with such compassion, calling out with pleasure and deep passion. As we draw closer, the winds start to blow, the room close. We stare eye to eye, we breathe with such interaction. Our souls connect with both, we feel the impact. Is this love or just lust for attraction? The beat of our hearts both begin to race. We both can't believe we just entered into this embrace. We push and we pull, we both moan and we sigh. Moments of pleasure just seem through the eyes. The closer we get, the heat turns to fire. Now there's a burning desire. Every touch, every glimpse, every thought of desire now stands face to face and hopes never to expire. We push and we pull, we both moan and we sigh. We both see the silent tear that falls from each other's eyes. In and out, back and forth, the thoughts grow stronger. We dare not to abort. The sweat begins to roll, the head begins to cry. The moans of complete compassion now fill the sky. Your body feels weak, but your spirit is strong. You have to let go, but you try to hold on. We push and we pull, we both moan and we sigh. The feeling of release begins to apply, but the thought of lust still keeps the energy high. One moment of pleasure, one thought of true bliss, caught in the eyes of two lovers of a glimpse. But we both pushed and we pulled, we both moan and we sighed. We embraced each moment, we felt all the signs. We both laid in the thought that was in each other's eyes. As we pushed and we pulled, we both moan and we sighed.
Good job.
A sweet night of passion.
That was nice.
That was all right.
That was nice. Well, I really liked it. Did you really make that up yourself?
That's what I was with. That's the whole
thing. Did you?
I really did.
Okay.
You know, with the job I'm working now, I got like 8 hours of randomness to do. So, it's, you know, I'm supposed to be securing a property. But there's nothing going on at night.
If you haven't figured it out already, he has a problem with doing his job effectively. So, okay.
That was good. Can I say this too? The beautifulness of that was that, and I was talking earlier of how with central or erotic, which I don't like to call it erotic poetry, the key to a good poet is to avoid raunchiness, or to avoid the
graphicness.
We get it, but we're a poet, so we were able to do it.
Or don't
this.
Sound like current R&B music. You ain't got to tell us exactly what's happening.
Well, you know, right. I still got to protect the status that I carry. You know, what preacher can be like out here, I want to say it because I'm trying to work on my level of... things that I say, I'm a radical person, so I'm doing better. You know, syndication and all that other stuff we're trying to get. But, it's more of an express thing. It's like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, why not throw it on the paper?
So, exactly.
I mean, it took me 2 years to get that one. So in another 2 years, I got you. You call me for
it. I'm going to just put it out there. It's just a funny backdrop. If you were just in the studio with us for the Band of Brothers show, it was Married People's show.
Right.
My man JTB is single, so it just makes me think, like, what are you fantasizing about when you're coming up with these poems? Like, what's going on in your head?
What are you talking about? you be single and see everything walk past, okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm being real. I'm keeping it real. We have too many people who are fake out here.
Can I say this? I've written some of my best erotic poetry single.
I know. I imagine. That's why I said that.
Yeah, that's what you could really.
Yeah, you get
like,
really creative, I guess.
Right. Exactly. I wish and I want. You know, you know what I'm saying? Right. Let me get this thing together now. So,
Baby D, what you got? I know you got some questions to ask now.
Now, the thing about it is that she's excellent with poetry also. Mm-hmm. And this is what, I don't know why she's so quiet.
You about to bring out your poem too?
She's got like a book of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was going to steal some of it, but she took her book back. So.
I don't know if you was already asked this question or not before we came in, but what made you start doing poetry?
I was asked.
You were.
I can change my answer.
Give us more. Elaborate a little more. Flow with it.
Well, I was explaining that I've always written. I've written since I was maybe 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And my mom pulled my. She's like, "Look, baby. You know, she pulled this poem out. I'm like, "Oh, I forgot I used to write." Mm-hmm. And then I steered away because I just love words. I used to do a lot of ciphers with just, you know, people would point at walls, like, you know, the walls still in there.
Oh, wow.
I used to just. I love words, so I didn't know what direction.
You can write a little bit.
I don't want to put myself
drop a beat. Drop a beat.
Like this.
No, we're going straight to acapella. If you got it.
No. I'll send you something.
Okay.
So then I went and I was telling him I did stand up for a little bit out in Cuyahoga Falls. And I was doing stand up and, you know, I'm pretty silly. He was class clown, you know, in school. So then I went back to poetry because it was a platform. They told me about the Kamikaze Coffee House. And I was like, I can get on stage and do it. So I was all pumped. I went up there. You know, it was totally horrible the first night that I tried it. And they were really sweet and like, oh, you know, and I kept going back and kept going back. And it's just where I'm at. It's just, I mean, I have tattoos representative of my poetry. I have my desktop at work representative of poetry. I told my boss, I will write. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, it's nonstop. It's just nonstop. It's truly a gift because I cannot stop writing.
Okay. When you were 10, did you know that it was poetry that you were doing, or was it just a case of, I like to write and I'm just doing something?
I know it was poetry. I know it was poetry. Unlike a lot of other poets, I know they say, well, I was just expressing myself. I was writing. It was more of a diary. I was getting, me, I was purposely making words rhyme. And I was purposely playing with words back then.
Okay.
Because I liked it, how you could flip stuff and just play with them.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
Yeah. Now, you feel like it's something that just flows, or do you think it's something that you is a learned behavior? It's you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, well, I feel a certain way about that. No, I think that is. I think that poetry should only be a gift. I know that poetry is taught.
Right, exactly. That's where I was getting ready
but
to go.
I don't understand. You can't be taught a gift. Like, it's given. You know, it's when people say, when did you get into poetry? I say, poetry is in me. And that's the way I always answer. It's like, I have no control over me being a poet.
Right.
You know, I have control over sharing it. So that goes with the question of poets versus spoken word artists. I have a choice to share.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a choice to write. I just honestly don't. Sometimes it's not as like, you, when you want to explain it to somebody, you pick an artist so you don't seem crazy.
Right.
It's like these words and these thoughts, and you're like, they got to get out. So
I agree. I mean, it's something that's got to flow through your veins. I don't, you know, we have a lot of people, everything's mimicked.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's mimicked in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I notice people, and it's like you could tell the difference, because when it's something that's truly passionate to you, you feel it. You know, it's like a vibration that comes off of the words, whatever you're listening to. It's something that, you know, a kinetic energy that just moves. And then something that's taught to you, it just seems like, you know, the fake cheese you found over in the deli counter, you know what I'm saying? The plastic that, you know, it's not craft. I need craft, you know what I mean?
So it gets you in trouble with the erotic side.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, I know, why are you writing? You know, and I get a lot of that, a lot of questions, a lot of inboxes, a lot of stuff. It's like, I know why you said it that way and things like that, because it's real, and they're like, they can tell it's part of who you are.
And that goes back to when he was talking about the, you know, dropping the beat and rapping a little bit. That's what I see in the industry now. It's a lot of, you know, mimicked behavior. Like, we don't have people who are true with their verses, their flows. And that's why everything just sounds like a cliche. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everything just sounds wrapped up and thrown at you.
It's all about making money. It's not about art.
Yeah, and that's what I miss. I miss when it was about the art. I miss
the old
school
stuff. Your art is too serious. It doesn't sell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't want that.
I'm sorry. But, you know, and that's what I miss. If we could get back to that, I probably could appreciate the rap industry a little more. I could appreciate, you know, the music industry, R&B. But everything's lost. And truly, with poetry, that's what they were dropping poetic verses back in the day, and opposed to now. You agree with me?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, she ain't saying nothing. I got
to. So do you get mad when you
preacher?
When
you know
spot
what I'm
somebody? Do you get mad when you spot somebody that seems like they're not authentic? Like they get up on stage and you like, are you mad? Like
I have poems about it. I have poems about it. It's a pet peeve. I'll put posts.
You're not catching nobody in the back alley or anything. Like,
no, but I will blast you on stage when I get the mic. I will point you out.
Yeah. Oh,
we can't a fake poet.
It gets real. It gets real up on the mic. Okay.
Yeah, because this is real. You know, it's like, well, this is our life. Okay. You're playing.
Let me ask this question. It just popped up into my head talking about the mic. I see this a lot with poets. You have the mic sitting in front of you. It's usually like the more traditional radio mic, and it have like a scarf or something wrapped around the mic. What does that represent? You're not familiar with that? You never seen that either?
Say it again.
All right, I'm about to show you the picture. Like, I've seen several different cases, especially with artists I deal with, or not deal with, or pay attention to out in California. And I've noticed even musicians pick up on it. Like, they'll, when they're doing their set, they'll have the mic there, and there's something wrapped around the mic. It usually looks like a scarf or something like that. Yeah, like wrapped around,
I'm going to get one. It could be authentic.
I don't know. Like, I've seen that a lot. I mean, maybe it's something that y'all knew. Maybe it's just something artsy. And
just decoration.
Yeah. Maybe it's something in their inner circle. I don't know. But I've seen that before. I figured,
I've never seen it.
Well, moving on.
Or I've never paid attention to it.
Yeah, moving on. I'm going to send some pictures to show you what I'm talking about. Well, maybe it's nothing then. Maybe it's just, you know, looks cute.
Right.
Thought it might be some inside thing. You know how in every profession you have an inside thing where only the people that's in the profession will know what you're talking about?
Right.
Thought it was one of those things. Maybe not. Wow. I'm moving on.
Well, tell me a little bit. I know in 2009 you published a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the book was Soul Exposure.
Yes.
Can you know...
A little bit. That book is really like, I tried to let the title really just explain. It's like, it represents all sides of misunderstood. Just everything in my soul, from passion to pain to, you know, education to empowerment. Just try to cover every area, because at that time I was being labeled as an erotic poet.
Oh, yeah?
And it was driving me crazy.
No.
And it was like, I mean, I would meet people. I met Johnny O one time at one of the like Nerve DJ things, and I'm like, "Hi, Johnny." You know, he's like, "You're that erotic poet," and I was like, "And I was like, hi, you know, but you, I didn't want to be. I don't even if it was they said a Christian poet. I have some Christian poetry recordings. I don't even want to be labeled as a Christian poet because then it's like a total, then it's a certain amount of expectation.
You just want the art to speak for itself.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's like I'd say my ink is I write with all shades of ink. I always tell people that's like whatever comes out. So the book was basically a reflection of everything in me.
Okay. And then you dropped a CD called Mental Message?
Yeah, it was Mental Massage.
Massage. Well, you know.
That shows off your intelligence. Well,
you look. If you heard the show, I mess up a lot. Mental Massage.
Yes, Mental Massage.
Mental Massage.
And,
just don't let him ever introduce you when you go on stage.
Exactly. I'm horrible with intros.
It's something funny. It's something funny with that, though, too. Mental Massage. It's a book and CD. Actually, it's the same title. Mm-hmm. And they came out together. And I did a huge release show for that. I mean, huge. I mean, it was like full skit, full dancers, you know, performance, poets, everything.
I'm going to reproduce that then. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was nice.
Now, do we still have availability to receive any of these? Like, if we wanted to purchase a book or a CD, or we could still get. How do we get that? Can you give us some information about how we could purchase it? Buy it. Yeah, that makes sense. Exactly.
Once you do that, you have it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to throw $20 in the air. Can you flip one out the sky for me?
Yeah, I have brought CDs for you guys with me, honestly. But and it's a way, like the Mental Massage CD is available still at CD Baby. CDBaby.com/misunderstood.
Well, you'll be coming out with a Mental Message CD, you know, the sequel.
I just hit her up with something. You're welcome. No, so that's what I want you to do, drop some lines and tell me how, if anybody wanted to get some information or get in contact with you, throw a little bit of information, like how can we reach you on Facebook, Twitter, you know, things like that.
How you spell your name so people can actually find
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Well, Twitter, let me get my Twitter together, actually, because I don't have a Twitter, but Facebook, Lisa Misunderstood Poet, Lisa Space Misunderstood Poet, MISSUNDA Poet. The CD itself, I said you can purchase it from CD Baby. The full CD or tracks, the downloads or the actual CD, www.cdbaby.com/misunderstood, the same spelling, MISSUNDA, misunderstood.
Okay. So close us out with something inspirational. You're a poet, so you know we got the stereotype that something's going to be inspirational or deep, whether it's something you speak, whether it's something you say, you've been through, whatever. Give us something to go home on, you know, to break this interview. Nah, I'd rather you're not. You know, we want to keep this on the up and up. You know, we're going in a good direction. Let's keep it going that way and let Lisa Misunderstood close out.
Okay.
All right, tell me in private in the back when the show's on.
Okay, yeah, probably, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to actually close it out with a piece I wrote because it's representative of what I'm going through now. It's really family. You know, I'm the baby girl, and I'm trying to let people know that, you know, I'm an old lady that was like, I'm not a girl no more. So anyway, this piece is called Changing. I need them to stop seeing me in yesterday's blues with yesterday's news wearing yesterday's shoes, because I've traveled a long way since then. I've embraced a race to a better daughter, a better mom, sister, wife, and a better friend. And I'll admit, I don't always win, but it's progress. And I ain't the only one that God will put through tests. See, we all have to go through. And I am steady trying to see the best in you. Change comes more often than dollar bills. So you can be a star without all the frills. It's just how people choose to see you. Like, I can't keep apologizing for the things I used to do, but I can focus on the right now. And when I can't see how to do it, God will show me how, because he has never given up on me. He blessed me with these wings to love me free, falling sometimes. And the getting back up is sometimes tough, but he gave me strength, determination, and all kinds of other powerful stuff. So I got this. Even with your side-eyed attempts of distracting me. See, I ain't never looked at you as enemy. I just want my past to be free. It holds no part of me. So why are you trying to put chains on reciprocity? Like, I look out for you like you should me. That little girl's unstable moods ain't this woman's new attitude. So I want what's due to me. 'Cause your negative remarks are no longer scaring me. Like, I used to actually believe that there was no saving me. Some kind of selfish, unstable, silly kid you made me out to be. Knowing I would give my last breath of my last chance at my last poem if it would save somebody's life. And I'm tired of losing blood and sleep over this. And in the past, I would have had all kind of things where the sun don't shine for you to kiss, but I offer my heart nowadays. And I heard that prayer and hard work always pay, so I'm just going to have to see. Because those past adjectives no longer define the verb in me. Changing.
Deep. Now, you know, I got that urge like everybody do to want to start snapping and stuff. Like, does that get on your nerves when people snap? And
yes.
Okay. I kind of figured that. So.
Oh, that
where did that come from? Maybe I can ask that question. Do y'all know where that came from? Where did the snapping thing start?
It was back in the beatnik days.
All right, let me get you on the mic here. Go ahead. You on now.
It was back in the beatnik days, back mm-hmm. when, you know, they were called, well, it really wasn't poets, it was about griots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so they did that as a way of not, it was a form of applause or acceptance of the words that you just gave, because back then is what me and Lisa are all about and what we're trying to get it back to. And it's more of the words giving you life. You know, mm-hmm. that was the whole thing back then. You got on stage to give life, to breathe life into somebody. Because being a griot, you were a teller of stories. And your story, what you told was your story. And your story was there to help somebody else. And then it just evolved into poetry. And it just grew from there. And a lot of people now have went so far as to get away from telling their story.
Yeah.
Or at least exposing a story of somebody else as their own to help somebody and not be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So that's how the snapping started. So now we just rather you just clap your hands.
Right. Yeah. And I was just going to ask, what do you prefer, clap, hand clap? Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was, you know, Leonard the answer. Table
standing ovation.
Leonard the answer Johnson, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that just chimed in. Go ahead, JTB, and close us out. Can you handle that? You won't leave
let's
the show
see if
with
I can do this.
Okay, let's do it. Then
I'm
going to
do it in a rhythmic manner. No, I'm not. Listen. This is your boy, JTB. You just heard from Miss Lisa, Misunderstood Poet. In the studio, Baby D was in the background. She was the one breathing into the mic. But we thank you for listening to the show. Make sure you hit us up at Culture Shock Entertainment. This is Shock Therapy with your boy JTB, Baby D, today. You can find us on Facebook at Culture Shock Entertainment. You can find us on Twitter at Culture Shock ENT. And you can find me somewhere in the midst.
That's the truth.
Yeah, true. True.
That's the part where we say goodbye. We're
okay,
done.
Okay, God bless you. Have a good day.
And we're out.
This is your boy JTB. I'm out.